I can't think of anything that's more joyful than this scripture. I mean, there's a lot of them in the scriptures that really make us feel good inside. But I've known this one since I was a little boy, and it makes me feel young. It makes me feel the same kind of a spirit that I had then, you know, to be youthful and to hearing these kind of words. And you know, the word of God is very deep, and it's very meaningful in many different ways. But the beauty of God's word is its simplicity. It's the way that we have a God who speaks to us in the ways that a child can understand. Isn't that true? It's not meant for people to expound and to be able to lose people in the way that they speak. It's supposed to be drawing us back into our childhood, into ourselves as children of God, right? So that we're not just going to think of ourselves as being beyond the things that children learn and the things that they grow up with. They're meant to be implanted in our souls. And we are to really live each day with that kind of a youthfulness, because God has given us that, right? He has created us since the time we came into this world, even before, right? The previous youth fellowship, they were looking at Psalm 139, and Brianne was teaching about, you know, God, knowing God, and he's seeking you, and also in that psalm, it talks about how wonderfully made we are. Fearfully and wonderfully made we are, and all these kind of things. And so when you go into the world and you know that people have other beliefs of where we come from that are very vague and kind of strange, or, you know, it's amazing to think that we worship God who gives us a relationship. It's a relationship that we can really respond to and that we can relate to. In that way. And so these words are just so important for us to come back to and to really remember that this kind of scripture is not just for children, right? When we learn those songs, when we're teaching them, we need to be looking at these scriptures and reminding ourselves of who we are. Amen? So it's good that we do that today, and it's good that God has brought this on our hearts to look at this scripture. So what we're going to do is just take a very basic look at this this scripture again and look at its truths and the way that it's planned so that we can remind ourselves of who we are and what we want to be also in this world as God's disciples. So it says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. What could be more simple than that? Jesus is walking along, and he spent a lot of time at the Sea of Galilee, and he did that purposefully because he used those kind of illustrations in what he was doing. But he was also there because he wanted to talk to these people. He wanted to talk to these people. He chose these people, right? And so he's there, and one was Peter and his brother Andrew, and they're casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. So here we are with the fisherman idea, right? I don't know anything about fishermen. I just know what I've seen and what I've read in the Bible, and I eat fish, but I don't know very much aside from catching that one rainbow trout many years ago. I don't know much about it. I do know that it takes patience. He said to them, and Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so herein, we are introduced to the simplicity of what we need to be thinking about as Christians every day, right? Follow Jesus, and he will make us fishers of men. He will make us fishers of men, right? So that's the concept. We are to follow him, right? And then let's just finish up on the scripture. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. So the immediately is important here. Immediately, they put down their nets and they followed him. Big lesson, right? Big, big lesson. In life, in every aspect, that we need to follow Jesus immediately when he calls us to do so. Not, let me take care of this first, or give me some time first, or who are you? Why should I go with you? They put down their nets and they followed him. So we need to think about the implications of that for our lives. Are we doing that? When God calls us to do something, are there things that are in the way of us going and following him? Are the nets, are we holding on too tightly to the nets and looking at the fish and all the things that we're going to be doing there? Or are we really ready to put those things down and follow? And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Interesting, he chooses two brothers in each case. In the boat was Zebedee, their father, and these two are with their father, mending their nets. So they're mending their nets so that they can catch fish, and he called them. And they immediately left the boat and their father, and they followed him. And so here is an addition to the teaching here in this chapter of Matthew, that there is a father there, the closest relationship that they could have with someone, and they left him and followed Jesus. And this is where it becomes, you know, even though it's a very simple concept, it brings in the meaning and the cost of following Jesus, right? That he is foremost. And those are the things that tug us, and that's what God wants to talk to us about today. But not only today, every day, right? As we go through life, we're going to be faced with that, just a minute, God. I'm doing something, God. I've got to do this because this is important. You know, I can't. And Jesus is saying, I don't know about that. I'm just saying, follow me. Right? And so these are the two instances, right? So we are called to follow Jesus, and then he will make us into fisher of men. So what are we leaving all these things behind for? For him, foremost, to follow him in all of our ways, to seek him first, and to be with him, and then to learn from him so that we can teach other people about him, and that we can throw out the net. And that he used very vividly there in that kind of a case to say, I'm telling you that was you, and that was you as your profession and things like that, but now I'm telling you what it means as my disciple, right? And you had that purpose in your life to show you the purpose that I'm giving to you. You can relate to it, but now you have to relate it to men and women in your life, right? So it's a really great thing. It's a really great thing to know Jesus and to think, I want to follow him. Why do we follow Jesus? Because he loves us. Isn't it true? He loves us. I mean, isn't that the greatest draw? To know that there's a God who loves us and died for us and gave his life for us, and I love him so much because he did that, and you're thinking those kind of things. Do you have that kind of love in you that you feel towards Jesus because he loves you so much? We need to have that, right? Is there something in your life today that is getting in the way of that? Is it taking you away from that feeling of loving God and really appreciating him and saying, you mean everything to me, you know? But then the next step is that Jesus has said, okay, to Peter, you love me, feed my sheep, right? So he's going to do that. We can expect that, but because of who we know he is, right? He has created us for his glory. He has created us for his glory, and the way that we show God glory is by following him and doing his will, by obeying his call for us to be his witnesses in the world around us, to tell people and share the love of God. It doesn't have to be so complicated. Because, and the great thing about this example here that Matthew is sharing with us is that it uses the situation that people are in. Jesus uses the situation that people are in. And so it's going to take some time for us to be able to get to know people and the situation they're in, and then we begin to think in that kind of a way. Let me see if I can relate to you and share with you in your life the way it is for you, what this is all about. But at the very least, we can share the word of God here with those people and then explain it to them. We need to sit down and explain the basics of the Christian faith with people. And we would be spending our time well to be able to take people who are maybe, you know, brought into our life through some way and that are not really sure what's going on. We gave a concert yesterday in Jaira Church. I think many of you know that. We went there and we shared our testimony. We sang music from opera to tell them about who we were. Our story is coming from opera. Lee Chan and I met in New York, and we were in Manhattan School of Music, and we were singing opera for many years, but we knew Jesus Christ, and we were also unsatisfied with the life that the operatic world gives. And so we heard the voice calling, calling to us, come unto me and follow me. And so we had to lay aside these other things and follow him. And now we're singing opera, but we are glorifying God through the thing that we were prepared with to reach people and then offer the gospel through gospel music. And that's all we did yesterday. A lady came up to us afterward and she said, I was really, you know, I felt something going on here. She said, she started to talk, you know, she just came up after the concert was over and she said, I felt something and I just wanted to let you know that I was very moved. I'm a Christian, but I was never baptized and I don't go to any church. And there was a pastor standing right next to me. His name is Reverend Ben Lynn and he's from Jireh Church. And she lives, you know, I mean, he was standing right there, right? And that was the chance to find out where I can join a family of God. Where could I go to do those kind of things, right? But those are the kind of things God does. It's not we ourselves who do that, but it happens when we follow him. Right? And that's why it's important that we need to trust in that. And I would say that, you know, for myself at least, I was able, in front of a lot of people I never met before, to be able to tell them my story. You know, and not feel rushed and not feel nervous and not really feel like, you know, anything. I just knew what I was supposed to say. You know, and what I needed to say was that you need Jesus Christ in your life and we're not here for our own glory. We're here to glorify God, and that's the biggest lesson that we need to learn. We lay down our nets of glory. I want to be somebody. I want to be big. I want to be known. I want to be famous. I want to have all this, you know, people talk about me. And there's people in our lives that we know, Lee Chan and I know, who are looking for glory. They're looking for attention and praise from other people because they think that that's going to feed them. But the Bible teaches us that the only way to be fulfilled in life is by glorifying him. Right? And that's what we're facing in the world today. But we throw out that net. Right? You throw out that net, you let it go, and then you bring it in. If it's nothing there, you just throw it out, you bring it in, and you just keep doing that. Persistently, you trust in the fact that God is gonna work in the lives of people. Amen? Well, you have to be patient. We're not the ones that are gonna bring the results. So we don't have to be frustrated. We can just be doing the work of God and trust that he is going to touch them because his love is so great. It's very hard for someone, really. I mean, they may try with all their might to reject God, but it's very hard to do so. It's very hard to reject something so powerful as his love. So, yeah, that's the story of being a fisher of men. He wants us to go and throw out the nets. He wants us to throw out the line. He wants us to be able to share what he has given to us. There are other people that we follow in life, right? I mean, we come back to this same kind of a thing. Who are you following? If we look around the climate of the world today and our country, there are people who are lurching on to a human being for their future. True? You agree? They're saying, this is the one who's going to do it for us. This, I found somebody. He's going to change everything. It's going to give me everything I want in life. What are they going to get from a human being? What are they going to get by following that person? There's tons of people following Taylor Swift. No, really, she's a huge, big star. She's like Michael Jackson of her time today. What are they going to gain by following her? I mean, I like her music. She seems to be a nice person. I actually like some of her songs. I'm not putting her down. I'm just saying, are you going to invest your life in a person? No, we don't want to do that because she can't save our lives. She could help plug a hole and bring something in by her own pain and expressing her own pain so that people can relate to her. But do you know what the best scenario would be? For Taylor Swift to be told about Jesus through someone and that she becomes a fisher of men and that she goes and she casts out this net and draws people in and says, you know, I was a big star. People adored me. They wanted to follow me. They spent all this money and and forced their parents to pay for big tickets to take me, them to see me. And then I knew Jesus and my life was transformed. And now I can tell you that that other life is not going to fulfill you. It's only through Jesus that you're going to find what you're looking for. The rock group U2 wrote a song about it. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. That describes this world that we're living in. Because you won't find it in this world. You won't find it in a human being. You're only going to find it in Jesus. Right? So we can take all these different things around us and all the things that we see going on. But the biggest thing that we need to know is that we know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Right? So we want to use our time for that. Our purpose is like that. I want to mention something that the Holy Spirit put on my mind that I feel that I want to share. It's indirectly having to do with this. But I've noticed in myself and in other people that when it comes to talking about something that is meaningful and serious about life, that we kick into this kind of a charming kind of a talk. We switch into a charming kind of a talk, like, I want to just kind of make a joke. Or I want to make a kind of giggle and change the subject. Or I want to kind of say something that might, draw your attention away. When I was a kid, I did a lot of that. And a lot of it came from insecurity. Right? I would go into a class for the first time, a new surrounding and a new classroom, and I'd feel really kind of nervous inside. But I saw all these other people, and they seemed to be doing okay with it. And a lot of them were a lot smarter than I. And so they knew how to study, and they knew how to go to school. But I didn't. I didn't know how to study. I didn't understand the whole concept of classrooms. And so how did I get by? I tried to charm my way. I would distract the teacher's attention by saying something kind of fun. Or I would say something, that would try to make myself look kind of weak in a way so that I would get some attention. Right? But I have noticed when people are talking about the call of Jesus Christ, and they talk about being called into the ministry, or they talk about being a fisher of men, or I have to lay down my net and I have to follow him, we come up with all kinds of charming ways to avoid it. And I don't think that God wants that from us. What he's saying is, let go of that. You don't have to feel insecure with me. You can trust me. I am your greatest admirer. I am your greatest friend. I know exactly who you are, and you don't have to run from me. And you don't have to be charming and try to be cute. I want you to be real, because what I've made you for is of great substance. And it's the purpose that is going to teach people the meaning of life and death. And so I want you to put down your laughing. I want you to put down your silliness sometimes. I want you to put down your charm and trying to get by on those kind of things. And I want you to sit down with me. And I want to teach you. Follow me. And I'm going to teach you the deeper things of life that are going to change you from the inside so that you are going to become my person in this world who is going to teach people in your community, in the people that you know, about my life and the life that I have to offer. And so this very simple idea is filled with hardship because of our own will going against God. But the idea is very simple. Come to me, follow me. I'll teach you all you need to know. And I'm going to show you things that you will never know without me. Put down your net, follow me. It expands into all kinds of different situations in our lives. Serving the church. We're at a time right now with deacons, right? We're going to be having deacons. It's become almost a sore in our church, the time when we approach people and ask them to become deacons. I hate to say that, and I'm sorry to say that, but that is what it has become. We really hope that somebody will just kind of, just agree to be a deacon. Why? That's why we slip into these areas of not trusting God, not saying, if God has called me, I will obey him. All of us, deacons, especially if a deacon is serving the church, they need to say, I'm not worthy. That's one of the prerequisites. You can't say, oh, I'm going to make big deal now. I am going to be a big, you know, a great deacon, and I'm going to do all these things. That would be the wrong person. So we have to trust that God, when he's calling us, is going to provide us his strength and his will and all the things that we need to fulfill a job that we need to do in the church. And it isn't just by, it isn't a choice. It's in God's word that we are to have leaders step up into these roles. We've had it all through the lectionary this week. Have you been reading it? The elders were called, 70 elders were called to come and to be God's people and to lead. And somehow we have this concept of like, oh, that was then and this is now and it's not me. Well, maybe it is you, right? Maybe it is you. And so God is you know, touching on those kind of areas in our life. I want to share with you an example that I think is one of the strongest examples that we can relate to. And that is of a man named Augustine. He came from North Africa. I would say that if you have a chance to buy the book Confessions by Augustine, it would be the best thing you do. If you can get that book, I mean, aside from the Bible, that is one of the top books to have in your collection and to read. And it's, some of it is going to be a little bit difficult because of the manner in which he wrote. But he wrote it in Latin, and it's considered, parts of it at least, to be some of the most exquisite, beautiful writing about God that exists. He wrote these words, late in life have I loved thee. Late in life have I loved thee. You know what he said, what he means by that? I waited until late in my life to love you, Lord. And he lived this sinful, debauchery-filled life running away from God. All of his youth, all of his time was going in the direction of self-glory, right? Of finding, being around wise people. And he lived at a time when that was really, really big in society. It was in the Roman times when the Romans were orators. They were great speakers. And Augustine was trained to be an orator. And so he had this position of great honor. When people saw him coming, they would be like, Mr. Augustine, you know, they would be treating him with great respect. He would flaunt it, just like we hear about the Pharisees in the Bible, that they flaunted things and they walked around and they said, I'm important, look at me and look at my robes and look at the way I pray and all these things. And that was Augustine. And meanwhile, he was living a life of debauchery and sex, rock and roll, all these different things. And his mother was Monica, and Monica is a person that was really important in this book to him, because he saw her as the one who was pleading for his life and wanting him to turn to God and praying for him and following him. And then finally, one day, he got so tired of it, he didn't tell her. This was at a time when there was not good communication, okay? He left her without telling her and went to Rome, leaving North Africa, and she didn't know where he was one day. He just left his mother and abandoned her. And she went after him. She went after him. She followed him to Rome. And they returned together, and he was a changed man. There was you have to read the book. It was a miraculous kind of a change that God did in his life. But it was through the word of God. He opened up the word of God one day because he was told to do it by God. And he turned to the verse that turned his life around. In the book of Romans, saying, stop this life of debauchery. Stop this life of sin and sex and all these different things. And repent. And he did. And then he went on to be this person who actually affected the entire world because of the things that he saw as being important. He saw how lost the world was in Rome and all the things that they went for in that kind of a way, you know. It's just amazing to see the things that he wrote. Let me read to you a little bit from a book that he wrote about the city of God. It was about the city of heaven, but he was writing about Rome and the times that he lived in. These were the two motives which drove the Romans to their wonderful achievements: liberty and the passion for the praise of men. These were the two things that defined Rome in his time. That he, you know, we hear a lot about Rome and that Jesus faced all these Romans. What were they about? The two motives that drove the Romans to their wonderful achievements were liberty and passion for the praise of men. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about America, that's what I think is going on. Liberty. Liberty is great. That is the thing that is going to help us most. And passion for the praise of men. Of men. That is what they lived for. Listen to what else he said. What else was there for them to love save glory? For through glory they desired to have a kind of life after death on the lips of those who praise them. And so in other words, I'm going to live my life so that people who come after me are going to remember me by praising me. And I know there are people in life that have done that. Leonard Bernstein was one of our greatest composers and conductors right here in New York. And he himself said, I want to conduct and I want to do all these things and I want to write all of these things so that I will be remembered in the generations to come. That was what his focus was. He did not think, what is going to happen to me when I go from this life? He thought only of the praise and the glory that all of his greatness and all of his achievements were going to bring to him through the lips of men. I can't think of anything more sad than that. Because I loved him. I loved his work. I loved his conducting. I loved his music making. He had such a passion for music. He taught me things. And yet he was so blind to the God who had given him all of those gifts and had meant that for him to make fishers of men. We have to be very careful to understand the world that we're living in and to teach our children well. It's not about what you're going to leave behind. It is where you're going and who you are going to give glory to for your life. That's the emphasis we need to have. So we learn a lot from people who take the time, like Augustine, to write down what their times were like so that we would learn from him. But he went on to write things that were just so important that helped the church to grow in a time when people were living with that kind of emphasis, right? And so, brothers and sisters, are you going to be the next Augustine? Are you going to be the next Augustine? Why not? Follow Jesus, and he will make you fishers of men. Follow Jesus and he will make you fishers of men. There are people dying in our world. There are people dying in our world. And it's all just like Augustine saw at that time. There's all these people and he identified with great wisdom what was going on, that they think that liberty and self-praise from the lips of men was going to be the thing to go for in life. And I have to ask you, where are the Romans now? Where are the Romans now? Where is this great power that was in command at the time of Jesus and brought to death the Son of God? Where are they now? And where is he now? They are gone, amidst, like the Bible teaches us. They're gone. And all of the things that they think that they want to be remembered for, now they are being remembered as being fools for having thought that liberty and living for the praise of men is the greatest thing and the source of their achievement. That is what they live for. And we need to be very careful the way that we live in this world today. We are God's disciples. We are God's disciples. And I believe that that is really what Jesus wants us to remember today. I am not just my own person. When I say that I am a Christian, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ and I follow him. So that when somebody says to me, can you come and do this with us today? You say, no, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I don't do that anymore. That was me before, when I was looking for the praise of people like you so that I would do the things that you're doing. But now I belong to Jesus and I'm going to be following him today. You want to follow me and I'll lead you to Jesus. And you can find out what's really important in life. Right? And so God really wants us to be able to think about these things. Where are all those people that talk so big and these powers that we're professing, all of their greatness and things like that? And where is Jesus? He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty with glory and honor. Why? Because he died for our sins. Scorned by Romans, putting up this sign above his cross to mock him as being the king of the Jews. That is the thing that we have to teach our young people. Beware. Beware of people who mock God. Beware of people who mock God. Beware of them. Stay away from them and follow Jesus because he's alive and he is the King of Kings. And all of those things that you hear about making fun of things that we believe in or not wanting to go to be around the things that you do. Talk to them. Reason with them. Let them know that it's your God that they're talking about. And that you love him and he loves you. These are the things that we talk about in our lives. But again, just one last time. Who are you following? Is there in your following someone else the danger of not following Jesus? And I really believe that God is going to work in our church when we do these things, to simply do that, to listen to the voice of Jesus saying, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And to remember that song, and to keep singing it, and to be praying for it. This week, when we were leading up to the concert, both Lee Chan and I got sick. And we were really sick. A lot of people have gotten this, you know, affecting them in different ways with a sinus infection. For a singer, it's like the worst thing that can happen to you. You're thinking, how am I going to sing? And that the whole week, it was a very long week, but I told Lee Chan later, I think it was actually the best thing for us. Because doesn't that fit in with God, right? You're going to be singing a concert for his glory. You get sick, and then you're thinking, okay, so why did this happen? And how am I going to get well? So you drink lots of water and you get a lot of rest and you start to, you know, read things because you can't really sleep. So you're just kind of reading and staying awake. But that time for me personally was a time to learn my fragility and my dependence on God. The very thing that I wanted people to hear, that when we shared with them, that we are weak, but he is strong. And it's not about how my voice comes out, because it's never going to be perfect. It's what matters from the heart and the way that you let God take over your life, even in your sickness, to say, minister to me, Lord, minister to me in this time. Things that happen in that kind of a way in life really need to be shifted around. Do not get discouraged when things happen to you and you can't figure out why. God is there. And he knows exactly what you need in your life. And in those moments when you feel weak and you feel like, why did this happen? You can turn to him with great confidence and know that he knows. He knows why. And he's doing something in your life because he loves you. And he wants you to know the more important things in life. He wants you to know that it's more important for you to be close to him than to stand in front of people and sing. And in any kind of a walk of life that you're in, you are more important than what you do. come and follow me. Okay, I will. I will. I don't understand it. I don't really want to, actually, but I'm going to do it because I trust you and I know that there's more to life than what I'm living. Amen? Let's pray.